give me a glimmer of hope again. Save me from all my wandering. If I've been looking in all the wrong places, would you turn me back around again?
Welcome to Hopecasts, where our true stories brighten your day by providing insight and encouragement. I invite you to listen as my husband, Dr. Ken Brown, shares one of his amazing personal experiences that will inspire and stir your soul. Even in the challenges of life's darkest moments, you can always find a glimmer of hope through the love of God. So settle in, open your heart, and let's journey together through the power of storytelling.
Is it the end or merely a beginning? A lot can happen in the shower. Barely awake and running late, I turned on the faucet and jumped in before it was even warm. The chilly water jolted me into reality, and with sadness, I remembered that today I was going to conduct one of the last clinical supervision meetings in my life. As a veteran state-approved mental health and marriage and family therapist and a clinical supervisor, one of my greatest honors had been to provide supervision for many counselors who were trying to earn the training needed to become licensed in Florida and Canada. For 35 years, I had been serving to eventually assist 50 other mental health professionals earn their licensure. But now I knew in my heart from God that it was finally time to close this chapter in my life. As the hot water plastered my back, I sentimentally prepared what I was intending to say to my last two supervisees in my counseling career. As I've told you for many years, my favorite time in the week is our Tuesday supervision between 10 a.m. and noon, because I'm with colleagues who I greatly love and respect. It has been among the greatest honors in my entire life to help you in accomplishing your worthy goal of becoming a licensed counselor. And now it grieves me to say that you too will be the very last two people that will ever supervise. I am so enormously proud of all of your purpose-driven tenacity that has earned you this title. For me, this is the end of an era, but for you, in being awarded your clinical mental health professional licensure, it is merely just the beginning. As I turned to have the shower splash over my head and face, a potent memory suddenly came into my mind. It was hot and a sunny Memorial Day weekend in May when my dad and I began hiking up a prominent mountain in the Appalachians. We had been camping in our tent, and after breakfast, we started off on our adventure. First, we hiked past the impossibly cold swimming hole created from a crude dam of rocks that impeded the flow of that rushing mountain stream, which we then crossed over on a narrow wooden bridge. This freezing mountain brook, cascaded over the rocks, was now to the right of the steep path that we were beginning to ascend out of the campground. We started to climb and climb. And even as a preteen on this unusually warm late spring day, I was getting hot and tired. After an hour of exertion, my father, who seemed to know everything about anything, said that this mountain stream was now above the tree line and therefore safe to drink, as we were beyond any pollution from industry or habitation. That was how my father talked. I splashed the freezing water all over my face, hair, and shoulders. And as I scooped handfuls into my mouth, I felt the power of its refreshment. And my strength came back. My tireless father heroically stood like a rock beside me, not seeming to need the liquid sustenance, and simply gave me a single nod. And then we continued climbing in our attempt to reach the top of the picturesque mountain, which promised an unmatched view of the country living below Her Majesty. As we climbed and hiked to keep moving, I frequently stopped for a quick sip of that tingling water as it skipped down the mountain, tumbling over the boulders and rocks. A long hour later, above us, we saw the top of the peak was entirely wrapped in a thick casing of ice and snow. The clouds were descending and beginning to soften and then obscure the features of the pinnacle. And on we climbed. Suddenly, the sunlight was gone, and the visibility began to rapidly diminish. As we laboriously climbed around a cliff that rose from the left side of the incline, with the stream always on the right, we abruptly came to the dead end of our muddy trail. It was completely blocked by an impassable wall of snow-covered ice, rising more than 30 vertical feet across and over the path, and it seemed to meld into the sides of the mountain. This glacier towered over us, and it traversed across the brook, which was flowing from beneath its belly, entirely covered the gully, and then rose up into the side of the adjoining peak. Our climb was over. There was no view today, as the path was now lost in the snow, simply ceasing to exist, and not leading this season to any mountain vista. Plus, as was typical in the mountains, the weather was closing in, and it was getting darker. The winds were picking up, and a chill was forming in the air, which forecasted an impending storm. I expressed to my dad that after 3 hours of climbing and all of our efforts, it was such a disappointment that despite all the sweat, our hike had ended without reaching the top because of that enormous snowdrift. But instead of getting mad or discouraged like me, he strangely smiled at me, and his eyes, they just seemed to twinkle. Then my father emphatically pointed at the water that was pouring out from a crystal tunnel underneath that ice and pronounced the strangest words as a riddle to me. "Son, is it really an end or just a beginning?" Not waiting for my answer, he commanded, "Let's go home before the weather catches us." Without another word, he started to retrace his steps down the mountain, leaving me to follow and wonder. What did he mean? Not an end, just a beginning. And then I thought that I understood. Although our path up the mountain had ended due to the impenetrable ice, this river of purest water had just started to flow from that melting glacier to bring life to everything it touched as it tumbled downhill. The end for us was really a beginning for the world below. Still in the warm flow of that shower, I fell to my knees in thankfulness to God. My service as a clinical supervisor to these counselors in training was over, but I knew that the Lord continued to have a plan to bring His love to hurting people through these precious colleagues. The life-giving water that had sustained me during my climb was the very same stream that flowed from underneath the very ice that blocked our path. How great is God, His ways so far above us, past finding out. The hot water pelted my back as I worshiped the Lord, and I prayed for my counselors. Then somehow I was transported in my memory to another time, much earlier in my life, on yet another Memorial Day weekend, when I heard my wise father say those very same strange words to me about not being an end but a beginning. It was later confirmed by my parents that just after my fourth birthday, on Memorial Day in May of 1958, our family of five drove east along the Lake Ontario on the north shore of the St. Lawrence River on old highway number 2. And just past the tiny town of Morrisburg, I remembered that we arrived at a triangle-shaped cairn of gray stones that had white paint with black letters embossed on it. My father turned the car into the dirt road to the right, and then we gently slipped down the fertile valley, and I saw next was imprinted in my memory and never to be forgotten. First, I noticed that on both sides of that dirt road, the trees were chopped off in the middle. The tops of every tree was strangely lopped off. There were just tree trunks sticking out of the ground in rows upon rows on both sides of the road with no leaves or branches. And second, there were vacant houses on both sides of this lonely country lane, and they were empty, completely void of people and life. One farmhouse on the left, to the left side of our car, actually drew my attention as my dad stopped our vehicle. We all piled out and saw that the doors and the windows of the house were all open, but there was no people anywhere to be seen. Not all that house or of any of the other houses. It was like we were living in a ghost town. There must have been children there recently, I reasoned, because I saw a swing set, a slide, and even a sandbox with toys in it. It was so very eerie and spooky. and I kept on urgently asking my dad, where did all the children go? My dad began to explain that the government was making a new river for big ships to sail in, and they had built a huge dam upriver, and he told them in a few weeks they were going to open the dam and flood this whole area for many miles around. He said that all of these homes, the trees, and the farms would be covered by deep water, so all the people had to be evacuated and moved to new houses where it was safe. I felt so confused, and it just sounded so incredibly insidious. I could not understand why anyone would ever flood people's houses and would take them all away from where they lived. My dad gave additional explanations to me, but everything he said only made it worse. I was done listening. It was all too much for me. In sorrow, I started to cry unconsolably for those kids who had been forced to leave their home and the playground that was right in front of me. To this day, I've never been able to get that poignant picture of that swing set and sandbox that would never have any children playing on it. I can't get it out of my memory. And although we lived 4 hours drive away, we returned that very spot to that cairn of stones with the white paint and the black letters the year later. And as my father turned right and parked the car on the dirt road that now had a metal guardrail, all I could see was the water of the hugely expanded St. Lawrence River, which was now over 2 miles across. It covered everything, the entire area where all those houses and chopped off trees had been. I imagined seeing the swing set and the sandbox in the murky depths below in the water. And instantly, all my sadness returned. I thought I could not even breathe, and I barely got out through my crying, "No more children." My dad scooped me up in his arms, and then he pointed over the horizon of water. Floating through my prolific tears, I began to see two large ships, bigger than I'd ever seen before. These huge ocean liners carrying people and products were moving west on this deepened river, right in the direction of where our home was so far away. To me, they both seemed to be sailing right over the place where those abandoned houses had been, because now there was so much water. My father said in a comforting voice, "Son, now stop your crying and dry your tears, because this is not an end, but just a beginning." God himself had shown me what I should share with my beloved colleagues and friends as I dried myself off, got dressed, then flew out the door to my supervision session. I knew that this was not an end, as it was just a new beginning for these counselors, just starting their counseling ministry. As soon as I arrived at our supervision meeting, I shared with my precious colleagues, Amanda and Kendi, how the Lord had spoken to me while I was in the shower that morning, by bringing into my remembrance these two pivotal stories in my life. By the end of that session, we all had tears in our eyes, and we knew that the Holy Spirit was revealing to us all that just like John the Baptist said about Jesus, he must increase and I must decrease. On another note, if anyone is interested in the details of the story and the creation of this unparalleled water highway in 1959, that allows ocean vessels and commercial access from the Atlantic Ocean deep into the heart of Canada and the United States and to all five of the Great Lakes, then search the history of the St. Lawrence Seaway. You will find the account of the involuntary expropriation of thousands of homes and farms, the forced relocation of 6,500 people from the 9 lost villages of the St. Lawrence River, and the 20,000 acres of farmland that had been inhabited and tilled by the United Empire Loyalists, who left the newly forming United States in 1976 rather than fight against their fellow British citizens. This whole area in Canada, lying on the north shore of the St. Lawrence River between Cornwall and Mossburg, was deliberately flooded on July 1st, 1958. To create the amazing H2O Seaway that has positively changed the financial future of the 45 million people live along all the combined waterways. And I'm sure that you will find this compelling story fill you with sadness, but it will also clearly illustrate the point of a new beginning emerging from the end of an era. I know that many of you hearing this story are actually facing an ending or death in your career, marriage, or health, or stage in your life. Likely you are feeling completely overwhelmed with the turmoil, confusion, loss, or grief. Having gone through a divorce and the terrible loss of our own son, I can relate to all these overwhelming emotions. And I just hope that somehow this story may give you some comfort and even encourage you to remember that God has yet another plan to bring life and resurrection out of all that tragedy. May the Lord bless and preserve you through it all. Jesus teaches us in John 12:24, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. And Jesus taught that he had to suffer and die, that his earthly life had to brutally end for the purpose of bringing resurrection, redemption, and new life to all of his followers, and to be able to share his life-giving Holy Spirit with his people. May you remember and find comfort and hope in God that this is not an end, but a new beginning.
Thank you for tuning into HopeCast for inspiring stories that will touch your heart. If today's story encouraged you, then please subscribe to our channel and visit us at hopecast.org to learn more. You can also watch the video version of this story and many more from Dr. Brown on our HopeCasts YouTube, or listen on our Spotify, Apple, or Amazon Music podcasts. Until next time, keep holding on to hope, and please share these stories with someone who really needs encouragement. May God bless you.
I've been searching and I've been seeking. It seems like you're nowhere to be found. And I'd do anything just to see you. If I close my eyes, will I see you now? Cause I know faith holds in what can be seen, but my hope feels like a distant dream. Give me a glimmer of hope again. Save me from all my wandering. If I've been looking in all the wrong places, would you turn me back around?